for this January 30th edition of Bang the Book Radio. That is with John Ryan at John Ryan Sports and the number one on Twitter, new college basketball contributor over at bangthebook.com. John, how's it going today, man?
I'm doing well, Adam. How about you?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate your time here. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. I know it's a very busy week here with the Super Bowl coming up in just a few days. And actually, that's where we're going to start. I know we talked a lot of basketball on last week's segment, but we'll start with the Super Bowl and the big game here on today's segment. And before we get into the prop stuff here, not a whole lot of movement on side and total as we talked about in the previous segment. Kansas City -1, -1.5, 54.5, 55, still the predominant total out there. You and I were talking before the segment, though. You've actually got a pretty strong opinion here on the side for the game.
I do, Adam, and it's San Francisco. I have been very fortunate in Super Bowls. I'm 15-3 against the spread the last 20. There was 2 years where I didn't put out a play. But San Francisco is definitely who I am on, and mainly because of the defense and the running game. And then, of course, there's the technical considerations coming out of the database and some of my machine learning tools as well. But I think top to bottom, and I know I would get a great debate on this, I think San Francisco is actually the more balanced offense and the better team on both sides of the ball. So if I'm getting 1.5 or one even, and I think I have the better defense and possibly the better offense, then there's really no further thinking necessary. But it'll be, I'll treat the game just like I do any game. Just because it's a Super Bowl doesn't mean that I'm going to triple my wager just because it's a Super Bowl. It's going to count and be the same amount as if it was week one.
Well, and this is one of the interesting things too, is that, you know, we haven't had anybody that's had too strong of an opinion here on the side or the total, where we kind of have some people that, you know, maybe took some positions early on in the betting process, maybe grabbed Kansas City expecting this line to go up a little bit, maybe grabbed the over with that expected total movement on the over. But you're the first one that's got a really strong opinion here on this one. So are you looking, you know, San Francisco +1.5? Are you waiting on this number to see if you get a 2, maybe a straight 2.5? Are you just playing the money line? Or are you starting to look more in the context of some of the alternate lines that are out there that may have San Francisco, you know, a favorite of, you know, maybe -3, -3.5 for that big plus money payout?
Yeah. Yes to all of that. I wouldn't wait on the line. And this is, again, I don't have any, you know, magic wand here or crystal ball, but my gut is telling me, my experience is telling me that this line is more likely to go to pick 'em than to 2. And I know that's kind of, out there, but I just think the money on over the weekend, starting on Saturday, is going to be predominantly on the 49ers. And unfortunately, I don't have any substance to back that up other than my, you know, my experiences. But on the alternate lines, and by the way, I am seeing 105 juice at +1.5. That just kind of changed, I think, in the last hour. And there's a bunch of books that I monitor, and I get the totals of all the bets being made and the dollar amounts. So we've had so far of this tally, 43,000 bets have been made on Kansas City, which accounts for 53% of all bets. So pretty good two-way action. What's interesting is that the money bet on the 49ers is almost three times as much per bet as on Kansas City. So the average bet size on San Francisco is $325 right now, and Kansas City is $125. So I think, you know, it's almost impossible to be able to figure out where the sharp money is. But I think in this case, it is pretty obvious that the people who are betting bigger, the pros that have already made their bets, are on San Francisco.
Well, and I think that speaks to something that we talked about a little bit in the previous segment, in the sense that, you know, I mean, Brad Powers laid it out pretty easy for us that, you know, the better defense has been very, very good. I believe he said it was 44-9 straight up in the Super Bowl here to this point, and San Francisco does have the better defense. There's a correlation in the Super Bowl between rushing yards and defense, and those teams doing very well in this big game. And obviously, San Francisco very much checks both of those boxes compared to Kansas City, in particular because Kansas City's pass defense isn't that bad. In fact, I think it's top 10 in adjusted net yards per pass attempt, but it's their run defense that's not very good, and it's their run defense that's in the spotlight here for this one. So I do agree with you, and I do think that, you know, as we break this one down a little bit more, as we get closer to the weekend, it certainly does seem like this line is more likely to move on San Francisco's side. And at that point in time, you know, then we're going to be left with some very interesting discussions of, does it come back? Do we get some late money on Kansas City? Can the public push this number back up? Because as we know, I mean, this is the one game where the public can really dictate the line unless there's a significant sharp position. And maybe that will come in on the 49ers here.
I think it could. At the same time, I think the books are really pleased right now overall with the action they've seen, because it has been mostly two-way. And I think the books that I'm monitoring with those totals that I mentioned, I think that'll come back in line too a little bit, but it's still going to be showing, you know, bigger bets being made on San Francisco.
Go ahead.
That's all right. In terms of the margin of victory, there's 48 pages of prop bets on the Five Dimes website. So you can bet San Francisco to win by an exact amount. So let's start with those. San Francisco right now winning by 6 is $3,500. Winning by 7, $1,390. So obviously the reason that one is different is that it's more likely it's going to be by a touchdown than by what would be two field goals or a missed extra point. And speaking of missed extra points, that's another prop bet I like. Most places have that at plus 300. So if the total is 55, there's going to be 6 or 7 extra points attempted minimum based on the total line. And based on the season, about 20 to 25% probability of missing an extra point out of making 7 consecutive, that's your odds. So you're getting paid pretty darn good to assume that risk that there will be a missed extra point. So I like that prop bet. But back to the 49ers, I like doing win by 7 at 14-1. And then I just said, again, this is all based on gut feel and also some of the stuff out of my machine learning tools, that if we get up, the 49ers get up by 2 scores, the game could get out of hand. And I really think the one area that's being underestimated greatly is the 49ers defense. And I think some of the stuff that's been talked about in the media is almost borderline bulletin board material for that unit. They're one of the best units in football, period. It's going to be the fastest defense, too, that Mahomes has faced. So when you have a very mobile quarterback like Mahomes, what do you usually try to do at him? You want to contain him. You want to keep him in the pocket. You don't have to sack him, but you want to keep him in the pocket and get pressure up the middle and into his face. And I think that's what San Francisco does extraordinarily well. And I think they're going to do it again. So with the blowout possibility, and 21 points, I guess, is where you start thinking about blowout. But 21 points is paying 41-1. 20 points is the one that's pretty interesting, too. That's 67-1. So even if I'm dead wrong, the odds are worth the risk. There's no doubt in my mind on that.
That's what I was going to ask you about was, you know, since you've got this strong position on San Francisco, you know, are you going to look at some of the alternate lines, some of the, exact margin of victory? There are also some ranges of margin of victory. You know, will they win by 6 to 7 points, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, something like that? you know, there are a lot of ways to look at this. And I think that's an important point too. And something we really haven't talked about this week is if San Francisco gets up in this game, we know with their running game, they can shorten this game. They can keep Kansas City off the field. They can potentially win by margin. On the flip side, if Kansas City gets up in this game, let's say Kansas City's up, you know, 14, 17 points, something like that. That takes San Francisco way out of their element because now they really can't run the football. They have to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo and his arm to get them back in the game. So there is a chance that if one of these teams gets up early in the first half, we do end up seeing something of a blowout one way or another. So that brings alternate lines really for both sides into the equation. Obviously, again, it would take Kansas City getting up and finding a way to stay ahead. With San Francisco, you have an easier path to seeing them, you know, cover some of those alternate lines if they wind up getting ahead. So I think it's a really smart and really calculated approach of looking at it. And I definitely commend you for that.
Well, thanks. I think with the range of points too, San Francisco wins by 13, 14 or 15. You have that key number, obviously, of 14, a victory of 15. I don't know how often that happens, but it's not very often. But the two big numbers are 13 and 14, and you're getting 13-1 odds on that. And that seems to be more of a realistic potential outcome. And the way they have it set up, here's one where San Francisco wins by 5-8 points, getting 7-1. You can bet the other side of that. And what the other side is, any other result other than San Francisco winning by 5, 6, 7, or 8 points. But you'd lay 11-1 odds. So you'd be betting 1,100 to win 100. So that would be intriguing for Kansas City fans to consider, too, that the only way they lose the bet is if San Francisco wins by that amount. So San Francisco could win. They're disappointed, but they win the bet because the margin was not what they bet on.
And like you said, you know, I think this is one of those where, you know, you have a plan and you have 2 weeks going into this football game to look at every detail, to look at, you know, every defensive setup, every play. You know, obviously you've got a lot of data points here for both of these teams that you can use when it comes to film study, a lot of individual plays. You can see, you know, which plays had the highest success rates for both offenses, stuff like that. But once this game actually begins, there's a chance that all of that goes out the window. You know, what if there is some quirky pick six early in the game or some kind of blown coverage and all of a sudden you find yourself down, you know, 10, 14 points, something like that. Do you stick with that game plan or do you change things up? And that's why maybe even though this line is 1, 1.5, even though some places open pick 'em, even though we have the appearance of what should be a close game because of the dramatic contrast in styles, maybe this is a higher variance environment than we've given it credit for, which again would bring a lot of those alternate spreads, a lot of those win by X, you know, types of bets into the equation. And, you know, I mean, look, all of us are thinking maybe this is a close game, a nail biter. Maybe both of these teams have success and we wind up with that 34-31 type of game. Maybe we don't. Maybe it's a 34-20 game. Maybe it's a 37-17 type of game. The more I start to think about that, the more I talk about it and the more that you know, present some of your thoughts and your information, the more I could see that actually being a thing.
Yeah, I'd like your train of thought there, Adam. And I just scrolled down and found some other prop bets too that you can bet either team wins by exactly 7 points, and that's bringing back 668, or you know 6.7 to one. And that's that. I didn't think of that until you just said it. So that I have to thank you for that idea because I actually might jump on one of those as well because your train of thought and thinking of the game is similar to mine, that if I'm right, I think I'm going to be right big. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be wrong big. You know, the betting line is 1, 1.5, and I think there's about a 2% probability that the game's going to end by 1 point. Certainly more likely you're going to get out into those, like you said, the upper variances where a team could get up 11 points and end up losing the game. I just can't wait till it starts. I mean, can we see if they can, you know, kick it off maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, that would be great. And it's funny too, because like I said, I mean, you know, we do all this planning, we do all this preparation, we put together all of our bets, and we could be dead wrong. And you know, we think about the coaches and all the game plans they're putting in. And like I said, I mean, some crazy hijinks happen in the first 6-7 minutes of the game. All of a sudden, that game plan kind of goes out the window for you. So, you know, how do you adjust? And maybe live betting is the opportunity here for that. But again, with so many different betting lines posted from a prop standpoint for this game, you know, maybe it's a good idea to take some of those positions early on. And maybe you do get some opportunities to play back at them from a live standpoint, partial hedge, you know, maybe some huge middle opportunities open up. You know, you take a Kansas City -7.5 adjusted line at a really good price. All of a sudden, maybe you get, you know, San Francisco -7.5 live, you know, or you know, +7.5 live or something like that. And you've got a lot of big ranges out there with which you can make some really positive plus EV wagers. So I think there is a lot of good stuff to look at here for the Super Bowl. Before we move on to the basketball side of things, John, any other prop bets, maybe player props or any other team or game stuff you're kind of looking at here?
Well, you had mentioned it in one of your other shows, Adam, and I wanted to say for what it's worth, I agree. I think a long shot bet here, and it's only a long shot because it's never happened, is to bet on a tight end to win the MVP. It's hard to take Kelce because if Kansas City wins, that means he's going to probably throw for several touchdowns, no interceptions, and he'll get the award. But on the San Francisco side, and again, if I'm right, you'd have to think that Kittle's going to have possibly two or more touchdowns, and you know Garoppolo will have pedestrian type numbers, unlike other Super Bowl quarterbacks in the past. And that would put you know Kittle as a possibility to win the MVP. So I may do actually a little bit on both those guys, but. Definitely on Kittle for sure, which I think is 6-1 right now.
I think Kittle is one that makes sense for a variety of different reasons. And one of them is because, you know, there is a very realistic possibility here that San Francisco runs the football with great effectiveness. And then all of a sudden, when Kansas City floods the box, they throw it into the end zone, you know, where Garoppolo is probably going to get more single coverage type stuff on Kittle because they'll be cheating another guy to help out in the run game. So it could very well be a scenario in which, you know, San Francisco's running game gets them there, but then Kittle gets those red zone targets, maybe has a couple of touchdowns, but Garoppolo does, as you mentioned, have those pedestrian numbers. So, you know, just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, a game did go to overtime a few years ago. It was the first time that happened in the Super Bowl, but that is a very realistic possibility. And we've talked about this. I talked about it yesterday extensively. There is a reluctance to give the MVP to a running back. It just, when you look up and down the results, again, 1998, Terrell Davis, Super Bowl 32, the last one. Maybe Mostert runs for 100-something yards here in this game, or maybe him and Coleman end up splitting the work like we saw Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai in that Super Bowl with the Colts. I believe it was Super Bowl 41. Maybe Kittle's the guy who gets a couple of cheap touchdowns with, you know, six catches for 80 yards, and all of a sudden he's your MVP. There's a realistic possibility of that happening too, particularly as you said, if you do like the 49ers.
Yeah, I can't agree more. You know, the running back, I did a query in our database and I don't remember the exact results, but there's probably been 10 Super Bowls where the running back has had credentials worthy of the award, you know, over 100 yards, multiple receptions, and the quarterback would get it. And obviously, you know, Tom Brady comes to mind with that. But I believe James White, the one year, had really great numbers and had a lot of receptions too, and was overlooked. So you're right. It's hard to, I mean, logic says it should be a running back in this matchup, especially if the 49ers win, you would think that the ground game is going to be very, very strong. But it's not been the case. It's a popularity contest. But I think another bet here I'm seeing too that I want to mention quick is Kittle's longest reception over 27 and a half yards, getting 120. And also Kittle scores a touchdown in the first half at 280. And I really, really like that one. You know, if I'm right, you got to believe that Kittle's going to score a touchdown in either the first or the second quarter.
Well, and again, you know, the obvious corollary point to make here is that, you know, if you like the 49ers the way that you do, and if you think the 49ers will control the game, there are also opportunities on the Chiefs side to where you can do something like, you know, Mahomes passing yards over, because if they're trailing, they will not run the football at all. So Mahomes could wind up with, you know, 330, 340 yards in this game, and they still could end up losing. Mahomes attempts over. Again, if you think San Francisco controls the flow of the game here. So there are some opportunities to where if San Francisco wins and wins big, Mahomes could have that big stat line. Also, if Kansas City wins, it's probably because Mahomes has a big stat line. So not only is it sort of correlated to the possibility that the 49ers win big, but it's also kind of a hedge against the 49ers if they don't win and don't play well, that Mahomes is probably going to be the reason why the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. So a good opportunity to, it's almost a middle and a hedge within itself with so many of these prop options available.
Yep, I agree. And the last one I'll mention before we move on is Bosa on the defensive end. You would think that he would be the star. Solo plus assisted tackles over 3.5, getting 120. And that's a head scratcher to me because, I mean, the guy's a tremendous player, and you would think that he would have more than four. You need four tackles over 60 minutes. So I think that one is a really good opportunity.
I think there are very many good opportunities here for this game. I think we've done a very good job talking about a lot of them here this week on the show, including some of those thoughts there from John. But I want to spend a little bit of time on something else, which, I mean, there are other things going on in the sports world here other than the Super Bowl, as crazy as that sounds. But it's been a very difficult, very unique week in the NBA here. Obviously, we had the Lakers game postponed on Tuesday after the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. And, you know, a lot of players individually impacted, the league as a whole impacted. So it's kind of been a difficult week. And again, obviously, it just seems so wrong to talk about these things in a betting context. But I mean, you know, that is the nature of our show here, as difficult as it may be. But John, I'm sure that you've kind of picked up on some things here in the NBA this week where it's been very difficult to know how these teams are going to perform and what the mindsets have been.
Exactly right. And I actually didn't put out any NBA plays until last night. Was fortunate to get Portland as a home underdog, and they came through for us. But even if the players are playing that were close to Kobe, you know, you're either going to get one of those tremendous performances, or you're going to get something that's just not good at all. And it's impossible to tell how a person's going to react. And it's impossible for them to know how they're going to react to the situation. You know, they could be playing in the game and look up in the stands, and there's a reminder of something that they experienced with Kobe. And it can be, you know, devastating to them right there on the court. You know, we've seen some really big men in terms of size and strength. And we've seen their feelings come out a lot. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, especially on TNT, all those guys. It's enjoyable to see it because it agrees with how we feel too about Kobe. You know, and we didn't have those personal relationships with him, although we felt like we did. You know, the wars that he fought on the court. You know, there's not too many players you can name that had that fierce competitive nature that we all admire. But I think in the recent days, seeing the men that were closest to him and how they're dealing with it, this makes you feel...
It's comforting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... Right. it's I guess it's part of the grieving process that we all go through, and obviously it's in different stages. You know, I can't imagine in a million years what Vanessa and her her girls are doing, or you know what goes through their mind in the course of a day. I mean, you just can't even get your hands around to even think about how horrible that must be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's you know, it's obviously a very difficult situation for a lot of people, and you know, a lot of current players. I mean, obviously, a lot of the guys that you know he played with or played against, you know, aren't playing anymore. But we still see a lot of the impacts. You know, Kyrie Irving getting emotional, Victor Oladipo last night, both the return to the floor and being very emotional about Kobe, and you know, obviously LeBron James. You know, we'll see how he winds up looking here over the weekend when the Lakers get back on track, but. To circle this back to betting again, as cold and callous as that seems, wanted to take a look at a little bit of a buy low and sell high type of thing. We talked last week on your first segment about how you have taken some of those market principles and a lot of those market principles really and applied them to sports betting. So as we look around the NBA right now, are there some teams that you're looking to kind of buy low?
Yeah, there's one tonight and it's a shocker. I just got to get to the it's on the Sacramento Kings are playing at the Clippers. And this is all based on the machine learning tools. And it's, you know, has nothing to do with the events we were just talking about since it is the Clippers and they're playing at Staples. It is tonight. Thursday is tonight. Right. I'll be okay, Adam. I know what day it is.
With the Super Bowl, man, I have no idea what day it is when I wake up. I'm like, is it game day yet? No? Well, then what the hell day is it?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. But the Kings tonight are getting 13.5, and they came up as a buy signal today. They're obviously a downtrodden team, to put it mildly, and they're going up against one of the Kings in the conference. No pun intended. That was accidental. It really was. I must be getting old or something. But anyway, I think that's a good betting opportunity there. You know, I always go back to Sung Tzu, The Art of War. Some battles are won before they're fought. Well, in the case of the NBA, that's when you think that is when you underestimate an inferior opponent, and all of a sudden that opponent bites you in the butt, and you got to fight like hell just to get away with a win. So that's what I'm seeing there for that matchup tonight. Milwaukee.
What is it that makes Sacramento a buy low team for you? What is your, you know, what are your tools telling you that, you know, this team is kind of underpriced?
Exactly that word. They've been discarded by the betting public, and the sentiment now is very bearish on them. No one really wants to step up and bet them. And I'm sure there's people listening that are thinking, like, why would you bet on the Kings against the Clippers? I mean, that's an automatic loser. I had one similar last night in college basketball that lost. It was Iowa State, and I loved them. I thought they were going to beat Baylor. And, on Twitter, I had some people say that, you know, you're nuts. Baylor's going to blow them out. And sure enough, that pretty much is what happened. But Iowa State was one of those teams too that was a buy low. They were 9-10 going against number one and only a 3.5-4 point dog. So you kind of scratch your head and think, wow. In this case, the Kings they're not going to be in the playoffs. They're a team that's struggling, but even the struggling teams at the professional level are going to have some good games. It's somewhere in baseball, and I know you're a baseball guy. The teams that are winning 33% of their games don't lose them all. You know what I'm trying to say? That there's those peaks where or those valleys where these bad teams come out and suddenly win 3 or 4 games in a row. And I think that's where the Kings are now. Another team is Portland, which I mentioned we had last night. I think they're going to come up on my radar here for the next several games. They possibly could be plays for the next 3 games in a row as you move into next week. Milwaukee is not a sell. They have played consistent basketball over an extraordinarily large number of games. So it, the analogy here would be like the chart of Apple computer. And Apple is at an all-time high, and it continues to make all-time highs. And people continue to think that it's overdone, that it can't go any higher. The earnings come out, it pops even higher. And I think Milwaukee is exactly that, that if you tried to fade Milwaukee, it's probably not going to be a good result over time. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I think, is a good fade right now, moving ahead as a sell team. And the Clippers are coming up on that list as well. So in that game tonight, you know, we have a bullish situation on the Clippers, and we have a team that may be overvalued playing them. And that's why that line is so off, in my opinion. I think that line, you would never get a betting line to be like 7 points for this game ever, because public sentiment is what sets the line. You know, the Vegas is not making a prediction that the Clippers are going to win by 13. They're making a prediction that this is where we think we're going to get equal action. And that's where we can use these machine learning tools to get that that competitive advantage. But in the NBA, I think those are the ones that I'm seeing as the sells. And then the Sixers are a team that I think is going to become pretty darn good down the second half here. It seems like Embiid's back. You know, his left hand, left thumb, apparently has healed pretty well. I get mad every time the media bashes Simmons, especially being here in Philadelphia. I think sometimes they don't. Sometimes I think it's so bad that they don't understand the game of basketball at all. You know, they made a big deal out of his triple double the other week, which I thought was tremendous. But he didn't take a 3-point shot, and they were literally saying, like, what good is it if you didn't take a 3-point shot? So I did a little query, and there's been 50 some of them, Adam, where the player did not attempt a 3-point shot during the 3-point shot era. And some big names came up, like a guy named Russell Westbrook. That's shocking to me that he had triple doubles without taking a three, because, you know, Russell's never seen a shot that he didn't like. So with Philadelphia, I think, you know, Brett Brown, number one, is a vastly underrated head coach. He had those Philadelphia teams that were so ugly, never complained about it, did his job, and he's still doing it, and he's teaching the game of basketball. And he's part of the San Antonio Spurs organization. So when the Sixers are really clicking, it is starting to look like the Spurs of old when they were so successful. And what I mean by that is the ball handling. You know, the passing is crisp. Everybody's where they're supposed to be, and it just runs like a well-oiled machine. But I think Simmons is actually the key for Philadelphia to make a deep run in the playoffs and possibly win the conference.
Well, next week we'll get back into all basketball, so we'll be able to take a little bit more of a look on the college side, and we'll also take a look at some more of this NBA stuff and make it a point to revisit some of these buy low and sell high teams next week, and probably add some more on in that segment next Thursday with John Ryan at John Ryan Sports and the number one on Twitter. John, I know you do a lot of stuff for a lot of different places. I know you do some killer sports database stuff. You're covering the Big East and the Big Ten for us. So, you know, anything else that you want to plug for our listeners here on today's show?
Well, I think the main place to go is to my Twitter account, which you said is John Ryan Sports with the number one. And just follow along. I put out free stuff every single day. Sometimes, well, every day there's free picks in the articles. And I think that's the best way to get involved with me and stay in touch with anything that comes up.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, you post a lot of those trends and systems over on at John Ryan Sports, the number one as well. So some very good information there for our listeners. Once again, John Ryan at John Ryan Sports and the number one on Twitter. Appreciate your time here, man. Thank you so much for joining me. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much, Adam.